today we are in the book of Isaiah, and I will read to you from the Jewish Study Bible. There are just some small differences, but you may find it in your pew Bibles. It is the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 21 through 31. This is what we shared this morning. Some of this is what we shared this morning in our responsive reading. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Have you not been told from the very first? Have you not discerned how the earth was founded? It is he who is enthroned above the vault of the earth so that its inhabitants seem as grasshoppers. It is he who spreads out the sky like gauze, stretched them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings potentates to naught, makes rulers of the earth as nothing. Hardly are they planted, hardly are they sown, hardly has their stem taken root in earth. When he blows them away, dry up, and the storm bears them off like straw. To whom then can you liken me? To whom can I be compared, says the Holy One? Lift high your eyes and see. Who created these? He who sends out their hosts by count, who calls them each by name, because of his great might and vast power, not one fails to appear. So why do you say, O Jacob, why declare, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my cause is ignored by my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is God from old, creator of the heaven from end to end, he never grows faint or weary, fresh vigor to the spent he gives. Youth may grow faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but they who trust the Lord shall renew their strength. As eagles grow new plumes, they shall run and not grow weary. They shall march and not grow faint. The word of God for the people of God. Won't you share a moment of prayer with me? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter and we are the clay. Make us and mold us after thy will as we are waiting, yielded and still. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, you are our strength, you are our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you will travel back in time with me. It's March 21st, 1965. You rise early, you're dressed, you've had your morning time of prayer. According to the clock hanging on the wall, it's 6:30 a.m., and that means that you have about an hour before your ride comes to pick you up. There's time for you to go over your checklist one more time. The small bag that you've packed to bring with you is ready, and it's sitting near the door. You neatly printed out your emergency contact information on an index card, and you'll give that card to the main organizer at the church so that they know who to contact just in case you are hurt. Pinned in the inside of your shirt are a bunch of dollar bills that have been carefully folded and placed into a handkerchief. These are the small bills that the older ladies at church have been pressing into your palm almost every Sunday, and they've told you, I'll be praying for you. You're grateful for their generosity and their small donations, and you are moved by their large prayers because you know those prayers are covering and protecting you. You've been carrying around a small notebook and you take it from your pocket to look again at the notes from the nonviolent resistance training that you've completed. Most everyone who will join the march today has been trained. Everyday citizens just like you have learned through multiple sessions how to prepare your minds and your bodies and your spirits to respond to the violence that you may encounter. You read over your notes from the Reverend James Lawson, a third-generation United Methodist preacher, and he told you all, when you are a child of God, you try thereby to imitate Jesus in the midst of evil, which means if someone slaps you on the one cheek, you turn the other cheek, which is an act of resistance. It means that you do not only love your neighbor, but you recognize that even the enemy has a spark of God in them, has been made in the image of God, and therefore needs to be treated as you yourself want to be treated. Jesus is very clear about this, the Reverend Lawson said. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Not as they do unto you, but as you want them to do unto you, which is a rather powerful ethic for personal relationships, regardless of whether family or school or community or nation. You hold that note. You hold that note. You also remembered that the trainers emphasized the necessity, in fact, the centrality of praying. And so you pray again. And you've been praying, and you know that the prayers of many will be critical given what you are setting out to do this day. Later this morning, you will again join others to attempt to peacefully march from Selma to Montgomery. You are peacefully marching to protest the violence and the opposition to black citizens simply seeking to register to vote. Earlier this month, on March 7th, you were among the marchers who set out to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and before the first marcher could step one foot onto the bridge, the marchers were attacked. You were attacked by state troopers and sheriff's deputies, beaten with clubs and tear gassed and trampled by police horses. The press referred to that day as Bloody Sunday. So here you are this morning. 2 weeks after that first march, up early and hoping for a different outcome, even though you have prayed and prayed and prayed some more and you've been trained, you feel weary and uncertain. You acknowledge this, and just then, the words from one of the veterans of the movement comes back to you. It comes to your remembrance. They said, wait on the Lord, and the Lord will renew your strength. All you know to do is to trust their witness that God revitalizes the weary, and you head out the door. The exiles who are addressed in these words from Isaiah were people who were beyond weary. They had been forcibly removed to a foreign land. They were no longer grounded. They were untethered and loose in the world. Do you know what that is, to be untethered and loose in the world and to be threatened by forces, the Babylonian spiritual forces and political powers that seemed so great that it would overtake them? Their remembrance of the distress that they felt as exiles is recorded in the last chapter of Lamentations. They said, remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Behold and see our disgrace. Our heritage has passed to aliens. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay to drink our own water, obtain our own kindling at price. We are hotly pursued, exhausted. We are given no rest. Young men must carry millstone, and youths stagger under loads of wood. The old men are gone from the gate. The young men from their music, gone is the joy of our hearts. Our dancing is turned into mourning. Why have you forgotten us utterly, forsaken us for all time? Take us back, Lord. Take us back onto yourself and let us come back. Renew our days as of old. For truly, you have rejected us, bitterly raged against us. Israel testified that during exile, it felt like God had forgotten them and was angry with every man, every woman, and even every child. In exile, they lived with a permanent sense of loss. They considered themselves to be a people who God no longer loved. They were uncertain God would help them, and they were beyond weary. In the same way that our spiritual ancestors experienced exile and it caused their perceptions to be distorted, that happens to us as well. Our minds sometimes betray us and block the memories of God's faithfulness. We forget God's goodness, especially when we are weary. We doubt God and we begin to believe that God cannot see us or that God chooses to ignore us altogether. Our way seems to be hid from God. We have experiences that distort and compromise how we perceive God. We cannot see the largeness of God's power to create and God's good intention for everything that God creates. We have experiences that distort and compromise how we perceive trouble. We forget that God has been and remains committed to contending with the powerful on behalf of the faint and weary. We fail to recall how God opposes and will bring down any institution or any system that exploits those who are weary and are vulnerable. We have experiences that compromise and distort how we perceive our very selves. We sometimes believe that God has forgotten us. The truth is that God would never forget us. Unforgettable. That's who you are in God's eyes. We think that God disregards or does not hear us, but what we have to remember is that God never stops listening to us. Each of our prayers has been heard and recorded. We fail to remember that we are people with the assignment to continue to trust God, which is to say that God expects us to wait with patience and hope for the day when God gives us the strength to change our circumstance. Because we have these experiences that distort and compromise our abilities to perceive God and to rightly see trouble and to perceive ourselves, we come to a place of crisis where we forget what we always knew to be true about God. We're unable even to remember how it felt that time when God first moved in our hearts and that next time when God moved in our lives and all of the times that we saw God move and change the world around us. We forget that God is near and that God is here. So the weary exiles listening to the words from Isaiah that day, they needed to hear from God. They needed to be reassured by God. And so God spoke through the prophet, a kind of divine refutation, a setting straight of the record, a resetting of their imaginations is what God provides in Isaiah 40. And so God starts with comfort, O comfort my people, which we heard during our Advent season. And we pick up here in the 21st verse where God says, look, you know this. You've heard this before. This is what you have been hearing ever since you were born. This has been the truth about me since I first formed the world. And actually, I'm reminding you about some things that were true about me before I even made this world. I am situated above the earth. And when I look at the world that I made, you appear as cute little grasshoppers. That endless beauty, that big blue sky that you see, that is the work of my hands. I can make a sky as easily as you can hang a pair of curtains, as easily as you can pinch a tent. And the power and the authority that rulers down there have, I can reduce it in no time. Presidents and prime ministers and senators and parliamentarians and ambassadors and secretaries of this and secretaries of that, all of their power taken together is nothing compared to God's power and authority. Think about it like this. The people with the power and the authority, no matter how long they've had it, they are like young plants that have not yet taken root. And one deep breath from God, one whoosh, and they would be uprooted and blown away. There's no one like me, declares God. And if you don't believe me when I tell you that no one's power surpasses mine, then look up at the sky tonight. God says, I did that. Each and every star you see created carefully and purposefully and positioned exactly where I want it to be. I named each of those stars, and I know how long each one of them has been there. These stars are bearing witness to me. So given all of this, please tell me, my beloved children, made in my image, why do you say the Lord is not aware of what's happening to me? Why do you say my God is not concerned with getting me out of trouble? Don't you know? Surely you know by now. Haven't you heard? Oh, I know I've been telling you in so many different ways that I am eternally God. I have always been and I will always be God. I created the whole world and I do not get tired. I do not get worn out. And there is no circumstance that you have been through or that you will go through that will be too much for me to get you out of. There is no limit to my wisdom. I give strength to those who are tired. And I love most the ones who have no power. To them, I give renewed energy. Now know this, on this side of heaven, you should expect to get tired. You will have circumstances that wear you out. Your young people will get tired in this world, and strong men will get knocked down. But I want you to continue to wait with patience and hope for me. I urge you to continue to expect me to show up in your life. You must remember that I don't follow anyone else's rules. Eagerly trust me to do a new thing in your life. For all who trust in me, I will replace your weakness with some of my strength. I will revive your faint heart, and I will reset your compass so that your tired, aimless wandering becomes a purposeful march. As we open worship today, I said that we are in the first Sunday of Black History Month, and that I hope that we will understand that this is our shared history. And as Christians, I hope that we look at the events in Alabama in the spring of 1965 as more than history. For us, these events point to God faithfully keeping God's promise to renew the strength of the weary. If we ever doubted that scripture, all we have to do is look back at the spring of 1965. Because you see, God is always renewing the strength of God's people who become weary as they work toward the transformation of the world. We see in the events of 1965 that God would not be boxed in and limited in any way by the powerful, nor would he allow his children to be. God always uproots evil plans and moves aside the powerful that devise such plans. So here's what happened on March 25th, 1965, 4 days after you left your house. In those days, God renewed the strength of the marchers. We see Dr. King and Ralph Bunche the Reverend Abernathy and his wife. We see behind them everyday people who were weary, but whose strength was renewed. It's a 50-mile walk, y'all, 4 days, through rain and bad weather. We see a young John Lewis, then in his 20s. He had been at the front of the first march on the 7th. And this is where they ended up, on the steps of the Capitol in Montgomery. See all the diversity, see all the people, everyday people who were weary, but whose strength God renewed. Brothers and sisters, in our Park Avenue vision statement, we declare God's intention for us is that we will be involved. We will, in fact, give ourselves over to be an instrument for the transformation of the world. We say that we want to be actively engaged in our urban neighborhood and in our world so that that transformation happens. And as we set out to do this work, know that we will be weary and we will be tired. But know with great certainty that God will renew us for this work. God speaks to us through these words recorded in Isaiah and through the faith exemplified in our spiritual ancestors in 1965. God says to us, wait eagerly for me and watch what will happen. Amen.